This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
It's your Daily Dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, May 3rd. It's also my last day of spring break, i.e. why I have no hair done, no makeup done, and coincidentally, it's also Gardener Day. We're going to have some special guest stars by Vicento and his team in the backyard in just a little bit. How are you guys? I hope you're doing okay. I'm trying my hardest to keep a big smile on, even though the world around us is falling apart, especially because Kyle Richards finally has removed Umansky from her name on her Instagram bio. That and so much more all on today's Daily Dose of Donna. Just dancing away. I feel the magic. OMG, you guys are going off in the comments already before I even started the show. I just love you guys. I love having you here. I love my community. Yesterday, I released a Patreon episode. Those of you that heard it, I saw so many amazing comments. Here's the thing, okay? I spoke about on this Patreon episode from yesterday, I spoke more on the Teresa and Jen Aiden and Melissa's old nose. I spoke about Britney Spears. I won't do it here because I feel like it's taking advantage of her, but I brought it up with this ankle and this Chateau Marmont and like the police being called and what a mess, ambulance. She released a post yesterday that I'm just like, oh my God, I don't follow Britney anymore. I can't, you guys, I can't do it. Then I talked about a little bit about Jeff Lewis. I talked about The Rock. And then finally, I went into a long controversial rant about how I'm feeling with the state of the world right now. And I was like, I get it. You guys don't want politics here. You're here for pop culture. You're here for fun. But when it's so close to home, it feels impossible to just overlook. So thank you so much. And you know what's crazy is I posted about it on my stories. I'm so sorry about that, the outside noise, but you know, life. I posted about it on my stories and I said, every time I talk about the fact that I'm Jewish, I lose subscribers. I lose, you know, numbers. People don't like that. And I said, so if you are, you know, supporting me in any possible way, subscribe to the Patreon, leave a 5-star review on the podcast on Apple or Spotify, leave a nice review, subscribe here on YouTube. Do you know that 30% of my average viewers are not subscribing? Like 30% every day of my YouTube viewers are not subscribers. Do you know how frustrating that is? But anyway, so I posted about it and then I went to the gym this morning. And by the time I got home, I realized 10 more people had subscribed to my Patreon since I posted that on my stories, which made me almost want to cry because sometimes you feel so in a bubble because the haters are the ones that talk the most, the loudest, not the haters, but like people that don't agree with you. And, you know, negative reviews tend to pop up more on these things. Negative comments tend to pop up more. For some reason, just people, when they're very angry or they don't like you, they speak loudly. And then as a content creator, it's really hard to remember of that, like for every one shitty person out there, or one person that's mean or whatever, there's so many good people. So I love you guys. I freaking love you guys. And I appreciate you. And I know that we will never always agree on everything. I mean, for example, a lot of you guys are Team Carl and I'm not. So just get your asses ready for let's get into Summer House in just a bit. But I honestly, like, I love disagreeing with people in a kind, nice way, you know? Okay, let's get into just some stories. Number one, I am watching Baby Reindeer. I am on, so Baby Reindeer, in case you've lived under a rock, is like a seven episode series for Netflix. It's based on a true story of a comedian. I don't know how close to true it is. I'm trying to do some research, but I'm only episode, I think I just finished episode 5 last night. So I have 2 episodes left. So I'm trying not to Google too much about it because I don't want to really see how it's come out. But I'll tell you this, it's written by a comedian. It's not funny. Okay. This is not a funny laughing matter in any way. It is so insanely like dark and hard to watch, but it's so well done. And basically what it does is it kind of covers the story of a stalker, right? A real true life stalker. And the way it's done, the way it's filmed and the way it's written is really, really interesting, and it moves fast. So I'm into it, but I will say one of the episodes last night really did leave me with like some bad feelings. I was like, oh God, I can't. I think the main guy is the actual guy, but I could be wrong. I don't know. But then I saw this article today on Daily Mail, and apparently there was a guy, the writer of this article, he basically wrote an article about Baby Reindeer and about the real life Martha, the woman who is the stalker in the TV show. Her name is Martha. And so this guy, his name is Neil Sears, and he wrote an article for Daily Mail. And it says, the real life Martha from Baby Reindeer is now targeting me. I've had a 4-day barrage of nonstop calls and terrifying messages, just like on the Netflix show, writes Neil Sears. And as I type, he says, the phone is ringing again. So in this, you know, Ray is muting it. Wave when we move on. She doesn't want to talk about Baby Reindeer. We're not talking about the show, but this is just crazy that he wrote an article about the real life stalker, and now she is stalking him. And this is like the one voicemail message that he got from her saying, and I'm going to try to do a Scottish accent. You have made a bitter enemy of me. You are the... No, I can't do it. So I need an actor. Anyway, it's really crazy, you guys. I need happy. I don't know why I'm watching this. Like I feel in it. I feel deep in it. I want to get out of it. I just thought I was watching a Christmas film. Okay, Baby Reindeer. It's very confusing. Speaking of films, I'm going to see Fall Guy today in the afternoon with my family, with Lance and the boys. That's Ryan Gosling's new movie. And then tonight I want to watch, by the way, Ray, we're done. tonight I want to watch the new Jerry Seinfeld movie. It looks so cute. It's on Netflix. It's called Unfrosted. And it's kind of like this really kind of colorful, well done. It looks really well done movie about the real life story between Kellogg's and Post, like the cereal companies. And I love it. I think it reminds me of like Edward Scissorhands, like that perfect suburbia, colorful type of movie. So another thing that I want to just mention, some homework really fast, on the Facebook page, Daily Dose of Donna, the Facebook group. We started a chat yesterday because so many of you all are book readers and we're posting in the chat what we're reading. So join there and join the chat. It'll be really fun to get it in, to start watching, start kind of like collecting ideas for books. Selling OC season 3 is out as of today. Andrew says it's good. Everyone watch this weekend. Is it all 8 episodes, Andrew? I can't wait to watch that. I know Welcome to Wrexham is back with season 3. I think 2 episodes are out. Anything else that we haven't watched that we need to watch? Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I'm looking forward to it. All right, let's bring up a couple of things. Number one, yesterday, The Real Housewives of New Jersey trailer dropped. Now it's only 80 seconds long. It's the first 80 seconds of the show, of the first episode, apparently. And it's done in a very chilling way where you see Dolores sitting at a very large table. And then it's like, what happened? How was your dinner? And she goes, horrible. And then it goes backwards and backwards and backwards and shows all these people yelling and fighting or whatever. It's going to be a phenomenal season. I'm sure it's going to be high stakes, high drama, high, lots of yelling and throwing. I think Teresa really set the bar for this show for New Jersey from that first season of The Table Flip. I think once you do that, you can't go backwards, right? You can't start a series with a table flip and then go backwards. I'm looking forward to it. It looks good. That starts on Sunday night. Okay. So we've got some really good stuff coming up. Now let's talk a little Beverly Hills. Kyle Richards has removed the Umansky in her Instagram account officially. A lot of people have found this sad. Her Instagram account used to say Kyle Richards Umansky, and now it just says Kyle Richards. And also another thing about it is that she still has the fact that she's a wife in her bio. It says mom, wife, actor, author, producer, animal lover, Who wrote this bio? I'm sorry. If anyone like cares about grammar or placement of commas or whatever, this is going to annoy you too. This is so weird the way that it's written. I mean, she has 4 million followers. You'd think she'd like look at this and try to kind of make it look a little bit better. I'm going to pull it up for you guys here on the feed. And the gardener is almost done. See, I told you yesterday on Patreon that we had a big, what's it called? Like playset all over our grass. And now that's gone. So they have so much work to do on it. This is what her bio says. Tell me, does this not annoy the crap out of you? It says mom, comma, space, wife, comma, space, actor, comma, space, author, comma, producer, comma, animal lover, comma, a real house, A-R-H-O-B-H, comma, space, no, space, comma, space, C-A-A. Oh, what? It's driving me nuts. It's like the OCD in me wants to fix those commas. You know, you're not supposed to put a space before the comma. You're supposed to put a space after the comma. She got it right, like, for the first 3. And then at the end, it, like, gets a little crazier. Yeah, she took off Kyle Richards Umansky. It was right around that middle section. And meanwhile, I have to find this for you, but as she's doing this, she also posted in her stories yesterday that she got this new necklace, and it was like one of those monogram necklaces where your last name is the big letter in the middle, and then your first and your middle names are on the small sides on both ends. And so she has a small K, a very large R, and then a small E, which makes me think her middle name is like Elizabeth or something. I don't know what her middle name is, but it's very clear. It's very clearly a thing where you have to just, like, she's putting it out there. Like, I am a Richards, and I am not a Umansky anymore. I always find that kind of so sad when you have, and maybe I'm crazy, but when you have kids with the same person's last name, like, her kids will be Umansky until the end of time, right? Like, I mean, until they get married, I imagine, or if they decide to get married and change their names. But her kids will be Umansky. And so that makes me think that, I don't know. I have to find you guys a TikTok that Mauricio shows up in, and it is wild. Face Reality. Eliza at Face Reality posted it. I think it's with one of the girls that works for the Umansky team. Her name is Maddie. And she posted a video. It's only got 640 views, which is even sadder, more sad. But here you guys, ready? It's shocking. Mauricio definitely, he has a nice little appearance in this. Ready? It's coming. Let's wait. Oh. I can't. Mauricio. Mauricio's like living his best life. That's probably his condo in this gorgeous, you know, high rise building. And he's hanging out with like these young girls. It's got to be his condo. I'm watching it again. Yeah, it's got to be his condo. It's like this gorgeous Beverly Hills, beautiful condo. I can't with the. She's going to get thousands of views just from me. It's just shocking. And one of the girls are his daughters, Sophia. And then the other one, I think she works for the Umansky team. Let's see if it says. No, it just says Mads. But I do think I've seen her in Umansky photos and stuff. So anyway, Mauricio, he is really living his midlife crisis right now. He's having fun. He's living his best life. He is dancing for TikTok. He is probably stripping all the young ladies. He's trying to get on the next season of Real Housewives of, I don't know, something. What's Mauricio going to do? Well, I mean, they'll do a third season of Buying Beverly Hills, I'm sure. Okay. Meanwhile, lots of people in the chat have been talking about Morgan Wade and, you know, Kyle, what's going on with them. I mean, she posted something yesterday and Kyle liked it. I didn't see that Kyle left a comment, but Kyle liked it. I'm sure they're still close and they're still friendly and they're still enjoying themselves. All I see when I go to Kyle's page ever is just like the dogs. Wait, you guys, if you watch Kyle's Instagram stories, almost all the time she does these morning Instagram stories where she walks to her beautiful, insane 10-acre backyard and she opens the door and it's like 5:30 in the morning and she has legit 46 dogs standing there ready to go out. And honestly, good for her because she's able to give these dogs an amazing life and she treats them probably incredible and they probably get walks all the time and all the wonderful things. They have a huge yard. It's great. It's just, she's literally like a cat lady, but with dogs. So interesting. We'll have to see what happens when the next season comes back. I know that Kyle hasn't officially signed on. I will be flabbergasted, fall on the floor if she doesn't actually sign on for the next season of Real Housewives. We can pretty much guarantee she'll be there. Okay. I have to share one Bethany thing with you. So as you guys know, last week was a really hard week for Bethany. Her mom had died. She posted about it. Then she released such a sad, sad, trauma-filled podcast episode of Jess B. That's her podcast talking about her mom's death, talking about the devastation and the trauma and the bulimia and the drinking and the abuse, verbal abuse, and all the things that Bethany has gone through in her life. And it was a very, very tough listen. And if any of you guys, you know, are triggered by childhood trauma or mother stuff, it may not be for you. But I really enjoyed listening to her story. It made me understand her a lot more. And I really felt for her. And she posted it on, what I found interesting was that she didn't just post it as a podcast. She also YouTubed it. So for a solid hour on her YouTube, she's hysterically crying behind a mic, which I thought was interesting. Right? I thought was interesting that she did that. Then she lost me. So I was like feeling really for her last week. Okay. I think we all were. And now I'm watching Bethany Ever After for Patreon. And I just finished episode 2. And let me tell you, go and subscribe to Patreon just to listen to this episode because it's so telling in these episodes, in these early episodes of her marriage. It's so telling that this is going to fall apart and it's all based on family. It's all based on family. I am going to go as far to say that I think Bethany and Jason got divorced because of his closeness with his parents and her hesitation or resistance to that connection. I'm sure there's other stuff. Yes, money played this, that. But I really think this was the core issue. This is the issue that gets brought up in every freaking episode so far and all the time is the parents issue. Your parents want to be around us too much. Your parents want to, she's so anti the parents' involvement. And that's going to break up anyone because anyone that has a strong relationship with their parents, like forget it. So anyway, the point is that I was really feeling for Bethany last week. And then she released a rant episode, a 9-minute rant or 10-minute rant. I mean, it's 10 minutes long with about 36 commercials. So it's probably 4 minutes long. And immediately from first listening to it, I was like, oh no. Because she starts the episode by being like, last week, and it's in Bethany's voice, right? Last week, like it's a very nasal friendly. Last week, I cried on the internet. And I thought she was going to say, you know, it was really hard for me to be vulnerable like that. It's not something I do. Thank you so much for your love, for your support. You guys were so sweet and so helpful. Like, I thought that that's where it was coming from. But it wasn't. You guys, this is shocking. The episode is Bethany talking about how people have an unhealthy relationship with social media. Just wait. Like, talk about hypocrisy. She says people have a very unhealthy relationship with social media. People go on social media too much. People rely on other people's opinions on social media too much. People post too much. People share too much. And people don't know how to really be able to kind of remove themselves from thinking that people on social media are their friends versus like just people on social media. I'm not joking. I listened to the entire episode like mouth open. I was in shock. Every single thing she says on this episode goes against everything she's been doing for the last few years. And it's not like she's saying, listen, now that my mom died and what I went through, I think I'm realizing this, this, and that. Like maybe she mentions that just for a second. For the most part, this whole episode is judging other people and their social media usage. Everyone's on social too much. Everyone gets too comfortable, you know, posting everything that they want on social media. I'm like, are you kidding me? I've seen literally every single corner of Bethany's life for the last 3 years. Leslie says, do you think she's rage baiting? I don't know. I mean, is she like wanting to get back in the media again where people are saying, oh my God, Bethany lacks self-awareness? It's wild. It's one thing if she said, you know, I posted this and I realized, because I can't imagine that people left her negative comments about her being sad about her mom. I'm sure people are very, very sweet and kind about that because I think even like Bethany's biggest critics felt for her with this vulnerable episode. So I was sure she was going to come back and say like, wow, I know that we're just social media friends and this is just a parasocial relationship, but you guys are amazing and thank you so much. It wasn't like that at all. She's like, these young kids, they cry too much on the internet. They expect people on the internet to be their friends or their therapists, but the truth is everyone can just turn on a dime. I'm like, what backwards world are we living in that Bethany Frankel is judging people for internet usage? I am going to like fall off a chair here. It's like me saying that only idiots watch reality TV. And that may be true, but I am a proud idiot, right? It's like me saying that, you know, I don't even know. It's nuts. And now I'm going to give her extra views because you guys are going to go and listen to this 9-minute episode. It's so crazy. I mean, podcasts, I know, I'm pretty sure now you can do, can't you do transcripts? I'm wondering if I can just read a couple of things that she said. I wonder if that will let me. Transcripts. There we go. Okay. 1 ad, 2 ad, 3 ads, 4 ads. She says this. This is how she starts the podcast. So I cried on the internet. I think people call the relationship between people and their followers a parasocial relationship. But I guess it's the different type of social relationship when you don't really know the people. And so when I first came on TikTok, more than even Instagram, I would see people really emoting and crying about their skin, their anxiety, their depression. And I felt that sometimes that seemed dangerous. I thought that it seemed like if you're doing it too much, you're kind of using these followers as your therapist. And this boomerang can smack you. And she goes on and on and on. And then she goes, so I don't really emote that much. I'll communicate and express, but I don't really emote and I haven't really cried on the internet. And I have sometimes cringed when I've seen people do it. And I've done it on reality TV and it's a similar situation. Da, 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 da. She goes, I was just not doing that great. I just wasn't feeling right. I had an emotional breakdown. I was feeling not balanced and I need to stop. And she said, I need to stop social media. I need to stop working the way that I've worked. It was just very brief. It was just like a break. And I said, I probably won't have the courage to post this and it's a little embarrassing. And then I was looking through my drafts today because I haven't really been posting on social media since my mom passed. And I've been going through it and experiencing it and not wanting to distract and divert because social media is, when people say doom scrolling, you're diverting. It's eating junk food. You're just watching crap to distract yourself. And so she's basically saying that I'm no longer going to be posting on social media the way that it was before. And I want you guys to let's remember this now, okay? So it's May 3rd. I want to go back, let's go like June 3rd, and let's see if Bethany is still quiet on social media because I think this is a one and done thing. She says, really, oh, sorry, six more ads. Hold on, six more ads, literally six ads. So she says this. It's like shocking. She goes, despite the fact that social media is now a commercial marketplace, it's a television show. Everything is for sale and people are selling things even when you don't know they're selling things. So now you're on social media. And by the way, isn't Bethany the queen of doing paid posts and selling things on social media? That's all she does. And a lot of people like these influencers, they're going to be like child stars where it's just going to run out. It's not going to go on forever. So there's going to be emotional ramifications. It's just sometimes too raw and too real to be expressing and emoting all day. So I'm developing a better relationship. I want to live in what I'm actually feeling and not. Da, 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 da. She's going on and on about how much you should share and what you should say on social media, et cetera, et cetera. And then the episode is over with six more ads. Guys, we need to know at the end of May. I want someone out there to log how many times she posts on TikTok. Okay. Let's get into Summer House. You guys, Summer House is the best show on TV. How many times do I have to say it? Please tell me that you watched Summer House last night. Please tell me, because we're getting into it. It was so damn good. This is getting so awkward, so cringe. We're coming up on the wedding of the century that never actually took place. And the episode starts off as kind of a continuation of last week's episode with everything, you know, that Carl went to his parents' house in the Jersey Shore, brought the cameras, and had this intentional conversation that he knew his parents were going to have with him, which is, we're not feeling really comfortable with you and Lindsay getting married. Now it's said, it's on camera. But we come into this episode with some really cute city scenes. And the first scene is Paige and Craig. And let me tell you, they are picnicking by a river that they don't even know if it's the Hudson or something else. I wouldn't know. I live in Los Angeles. She packed a picnic for him. She goes, I don't usually do this for people, but I just wanted you to know that I really care about you and I love you. I think all the words that like Danielle had put into her head from the last week, and she was just feeling a little bit like, maybe I have to show him some more love. Okay. Craig cannot be more adorable. Paige is also so adorable. The problem here is this. They end up having this adorable conversation about like how she feels about him. She's like, I can't. She said, do you have a timeline of what you want? He says, by the age of 40, I want to have my first kid. I'm 35 right now. I mean, which is such a bummer because like he should just have it. Like, I want him to have kids now, but whatever. By 40 years old, I want to have a kid. And she says, okay. She goes, I can tell you this. I don't know what the next step in my life is. I don't know what I want to do next. I don't know, you know, where I'm going to go next. Like, you are lucky that you have it kind of all planned out. I don't know what I want, but I know I want it to be with you. Okay. She loves him. She's like, I love you. And he says, this is so sad. He goes, sometimes I wonder, like, do you even like me or not? And he says, and she goes, of course, chicken. And he says, I don't want to feel insecure in our relationship. And she's like, I don't want you to either. But of course he does, because she's so confident. She's so secure and so confident. And you know how they always say in the best relationships, the man loves the woman, like the best hetero relationships, the man loves the woman a little bit more than the woman loves the man. Have you ever heard that? And I think that that is a nice idea because women, I think, really struggle if they're feeling insecure in their marriages or relationships. And men, it's kind of nice that they like are feeling a little bit on, you know, does she like me or not? Because then he tries harder. But in this case, I feel like the more he's going to try, I feel like the more she's not going to settle. I feel almost like he needs to pull away for her to say, oh shit, right? I don't know. I feel like there is going to be a time in their relationship where, you know, they're going to have to really kind of, they're going to have to figure it out. They're going to have to figure out what the hell are we actually doing? What's next? And it's really, I honestly feel really bad because now, okay, so this was filmed in August of last year. And now it's May of the following year and they're still not engaged. So what, you guys, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? So I really want for her and him, I want them to work out. I think they're so cute together. I really, really love them together. She says something funny to him. She goes, do you think I'm going to let you go now that you dress like Jordan Belfort and grow out your hair? But that's kind of like, there's a part of me that feels like she really loves him, but she also loves the idea of him, right? Because he's like this really handsome, successful guy that all the girls love. He's a good guy. And so she like loves the idea of him. I don't know. I worry about this. Now, the next scene. Okay, so wait, by the way, when is Craig's birthday? We have to like keep an eye on his birthday years. The next scene is Lindsay and Carl. And this is, it looks like it's like the day before her bridal shower. And they're chilling in the apartment. He's got the most horrendous pair of neon green slippers on. I'll just point that out. And his hair is doing some wave. His white teeth are whiting. And she asks him, like, so how was Jersey Shore? She has no idea. She has no idea that he just went to the Jersey Shore to talk on bad about her. Not to talk bad about her, but to let the parents kind of really put it out there in person about, like, that it was going to be challenging or difficult with this relationship and the marriage or whatever. So he, and I get this about Carl, right? He is scared of confrontation. He really is. He's scared of conflict. He's scared of confrontation. And I think he's truly scared of Lindsay, which is never a good relationship, right? And so he goes to her and he tries to kind of give her the muted beige version of what that conversation was, which is like, well, you know, they're just worried about us. And she goes, worried about us? Why? You know, like, because we just like got into some fights. Okay, she's trying to kind of understand what he's saying, and she's actually taking it really well, because I think that if my fiance had this conversation with me a month before our wedding or 2 months before my wedding, I feel like we would feel like I would be really, really nervous if Lance was telling me that his parents or someone that I really cared about was a little on the fence about me marrying him or about us getting married. But he didn't say the real true essence of that conversation, which was like, my stepdad wouldn't marry us, which is like an ouch, ouch, ouch. So she's just questioning him. What do you mean? Like, worried about our timing? Worried that we're rushing? Worried about me? Is it something about, and I can tell she's getting a little defensive, but fuck, wouldn't you? Like, I would get defensive. I really would if my fiance was having this conversation. I'd start to like panic. And she's like, wow, the timing of this is just awful because my baby shower and I'm about to see Sharon, your mom. Which is just wild that Sharon is back, is in New York. Listen, Sharon is in New York in the middle of the week for this bridal shower. I imagine it probably took place on like a Thursday for production reasons. And Carl had just gone to the Jersey Shore like on Monday. Did he really need to go to the Jersey Shore and see his parents 3 days before she was coming back out to New York? What's the deal with Carl and his parents? Now, I get a lot of shit in my DMs about this from women, from moms who are like, you have sons. Wouldn't you want your sons to come and talk to you about all this stuff? And I do and I don't. I want my sons to always be very open to me. But Carl uses his mom as like a human shield. And he goes to his parents, it sounds like, with such inner details. And you know what they say? You know what they say about this? You know how they tell people? My mom always used to tell me this. My mom would say, be careful who you talk badly about your husband to in your friend group. Because if you ever go to your friends and you say, wow, I got in a huge fight with him because A, B, and C, and he said this and he said that, and obviously you're mad and you're hurt, so you're of course going to talk about it in a very negative way. You're going to talk about that person in a way that you are the hero and they are the problem. They will always feel that way about you later. They will always remember those things. It's like it's stuck in their mind. That's like when we watch reality shows and we find bad things out about these guys or these women, it's hard to forget and erase. It's always there. And my mom always used to say, you can talk to me all you want about Lance because I love him and I don't judge him and I will always love him no matter what, like unless obviously some horrible things. But not every parent is that way. Not every parent can be non-judgmental. And it's really, you have to be very careful with who you can vent to. And I've learned this the hard way many a times, right? And my friends have told me things about their husbands. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Now I have to like hang out with him Friday night. And he's a horrible human being. So, okay. So that being said, I think Carl is close with his parents, but he's almost too close. I feel like he's using his parents the way that you should use a therapist or you should use, as Bethany thinks, your social media followers. Just kidding. It's now her baby shower. She has this beautiful, gorgeous baby shower in the middle of this New York restaurant courtyard. Lindsay has the prettiest friends. Don't you guys agree? Like every single one of Lindsay's friends are just stunning. And I remember feeling this way every time I would see Lindsay's photos, like around this time and when the wedding got called off and she went to Mexico anyway. She comes in, she's so excited. She does pull a Lindsay, which is when she walks in and she goes, I'm a bride. I'm a bride. I'm a bride. But she's just living her best life. Her hair is up. I mean, listen, Lindsay is an attention seeker. We all know this about Lindsay. She likes being the center of attention. She's loving every second of this, as she should. You're about 40 years old, almost 40 years old, and you're getting married. You're excited. This is very exciting. She says hi to all her friends. She says hi to Carolyn, who happens to be her stepmom. We find out throughout this episode, we've heard little versions of this through the years, but I didn't remember exactly. But I guess through this episode, we find out that Lindsay has a very close relationship with her stepmom because she has been essentially her mom since she was three. Lindsay's mom ran away, basically said, I can't deal with this. She was 21 when she had her and she was gone. So Lindsay is very close with her dad. We've seen that, and her stepmom. Sharon walks in. Sharon, to me, I mean, she could use a makeover is one thing, but also like, I'm so mad with her after this last couple of episodes. Like, I just don't like her energy. I feel like it's fake and I feel like it's shitty. But Sharon comes in and she, did I say baby shower? I meant bridal shower. I'm sorry. I'm a bride. Sharon comes in and she's uncomfortable. The way that we're getting the edit, we don't even see them say hi to each other, which is so weird because you know they did. We just see like them kind of not being in the same conversation and Sharon just awkwardly drinking her wine. They're sitting at the table. Lindsay's having this really nice conversation with Carolyn, her stepmom. And all of a sudden, Sharon, who's just like not talking to her, just kind of inserts herself and she's like, why am I so far away? Well, it's a little awkward. I mean, Lindsay's basically having a conversation with her mom, but Lindsay tries really hard to kind of connect them both, right? Connect them both. And she's chatting with both of them. And a little bit later, as Lindsay's walking around, she actually like so uncomfortable, but she actually goes to Sharon and she has a conversation with Sharon that she's like, I talked to Carl and Carl told me about your conversation at the Jersey Shore. And Sharon is being so kind and so sweet to Lindsay. And then when Lindsay brings this up, Sharon immediately is like, no, oh God, no, we didn't. No, it was just, you know, it's just like mom stuff. I love you. I am so excited for you to be part of this family. And, you know, I just love him. I am so happy for you. And I just, no, we're so excited. It was, guys, that's a fake person. She's like this. No, I didn't say that. Now, Lindsay has balls of steel. Amanda's like, I would never. But Lindsay has balls of steel, brings us up. And then Sharon does something that is so gross because she says, Lindsay says something like, I can't wait to have you as my stepmom or my mother-in-law. I'm so excited. And Sharon goes, Lauren Workus thought I was going to be a good mother-in-law. What? We're bringing up Carl's ex-girlfriend from season 2 of Summer House? Lauren was one of the twins that lived in the house. Season 2, she and Carl were hooking up. Weren't they hooking up? There was like some hookups and stuff. And freaking Lindsay's like, what? I have called you a good mother-in-law. Like, ew. Run away. Sharon was red flag central in this scene. Not a fan. I didn't like it. She looks a little busted too in a lot of ways, which makes me think that, like, I don't know. Now I'm getting mean. I'm not going to say that. Okay. Then Carl comes for, like, she starts doing these opening presents and she's like, it's sandwiches. It's lingerie. I mean, Lindsay, I love you. Let's not do it. Carl walks in, the hero of the night. Remember, this is like a week or two before this wedding is getting called off, if you remember. He walks in and he, you look great, Lindsay. You look great. Carl's fake AF as well. They are so both Sharon and Carl are the fakest people I've ever seen in my life. I can't. So he's sitting there, you know, just Lindsay. This is a week before he calls off the wedding or 2 weeks before he calls off the wedding. Like, what is actually happening here? Michelle says something interesting, that Carl's mom, Sharon, had a cheating husband and 2 sons with addiction issues. She's a classic enabler and doesn't hold Carl accountable for his behavior. 100%. Hit the nail on the head. The apple doesn't fall far in this relationship. So it's a really uncomfortable baby shower through and through. Bridal shower. I don't know why I keep on saying baby shower. Now we're finally driving back. Halfway through the episode, we enter the Summer House. I love this show that they could be in Miami, Manhattan, Milan, or the Mall of America, and I will watch Summer House. It's just such a genius cast. But we finally get to see West again because I missed my West, and I missed Jesse. And Paige, of course, and Sierra. And Paige asks Sierra about, did you – how was the bridal shower? And Sierra says it was lovely. And Paige says, I was really thrilled and happy that I got invited. We don't know why Paige didn't actually go to the – oh, no, we do know why. Because she was like, I'm not going to go to a bridal shower of a wedding that I wasn't invited to. Andrew says Wes looked like Super Mario. And honestly, I've never seen anything more accurate. Wes legit looks like Super Mario. He has got – this is Super Mario and Luigi. Guys, we have Super Mario.
Mario.
It's literally do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh my God, they're so funny. That's such a good call. So they start talking also about Jesse's 5-year checkup for his testicular cancer, which I don't think goes so well. We don't know the details, but I saw a scene later where he's crying, and it's a very scary moment for Jesse because he said after 5 years, the statistics are of cancer coming back are so much lower after 5 years. So hoping that everything works out. And I think it, I think we would know in real life if it didn't, but we'll see. Sierra and Paige are chatting about Wes and how, you know, she's excited to see him. They get back to, they get to the house and immediately, you know, the party starts. They're all sitting in the backyard. They're chatting about the week, and Sierra and Paige get there and they're in the kitchen chatting. But meanwhile, we're in the backyard, and Lindsay asks Wes, so, you know, what's going on with you? With women or whatever, are you still texting other girls? Are you keeping the door open? And Wes is like, well, yeah, kind of. Like, kind of am. I'm kind of keeping the door open. And she's like, so you're just texting like, hey, what are you doing? Now, we don't know how, in fact, how detailed he is getting in with these other girls. But Sierra comes out. She's like, I can't wait to see my boo thing. She's in love with him. Okay. It is so clear. She goes straight to him. She jumps on him. He picks her up. They're nuzzling. They're kissing. It's actually very, very cute. And I'm still just so confused why she doesn't want to just give him that physical assurance, because this is the one, I think, big issue in their relationship is that he really likes her. She really likes him, but she's not physically showing that in a physical way. She's not having sex with him. Let's just call a spade a spade. And that's making him question, do you like me? I get that. It's like if you're obsessed with a guy as a woman and he's saying, I like you, I like you, I like you, but he never calls you and asks you out on a date. But like you're still hanging out all the time. You would question it too. So they're sitting around in a big circle. Everyone's chatting. Everyone's having a nice conversation. They start deciding that they're going to get ready for dinner. And we then have like a really cute, well, Sierra and Wes are like cuddling and oh no, Wes gets a job. He gets a, this I found was interesting. Wes got an email, a job offer. And instead of saying it, oh my God, you guys have got a job. He had Paige read it out loud. And he was so excited. The whole house is really happy for him. It's a very cute moment. So real, right? Like that, you know, that feeling when you get that email or you get that call and you're just like, oh my God, the best news ever. Now I can really go into this weekend and really love on it. So Sierra and Wes are cuddling and they're having a really, you know, cute little cuddle. But I think we're kind of getting some feelings that maybe something is going to go wrong. I don't know. Just with the idea that Wes has other girls. Okay, now we have the trio that I love, and that's Amanda, Paige, and Lindsay. And I'm really into this girl power moment, okay? They're sitting in the bathroom. They start talking about Sierra and Wes. Lindsay shares with Paige and Amanda about how he's texting with other girls, and Paige is freaking out, but she's like, but also, what man goes the entire summer without having sex? And they talk about the Austin of it all and everything. So I hope they can figure this out. I have no idea. I really like them together personally. Then they start talking about Carl. And meanwhile, we do some cut-throughs to between the three of them having a conversation about Carl and that Sharon awkwardness, Carl's parents. And then we cut over to Carl, who is physically attacking a fly with a pillow, like I have never seen in my life. I don't think I've ever, is this what he does at Barry's boot camp? He takes that pillow. He's going crazy. He's doing capoeira. He's doing, you know, what's it called when you do the parkour? He's doing parkour with a pillow for this fly in Kyle and Amanda's room. I find it hysterical. So then, you know, Amanda, Lindsay's just sharing openly that she was really struggling a little bit hearing this from Sharon because, and she got emotional. She's like, my mom is not around. And one of the most like important things for me about starting a new relationship and getting into a new relationship is that I have like a mom, and she gets emotional. And 100%, this is a real true issue for Lindsay. And this is so sad to watch because she's feeling rejected from potentially her new mother. And they hug her and they're being so sweet. And Paige says, you know, a lot of mothers of sons don't really know how to, you know, they feel like they're going to lose their sons. And maybe it's more like this, but she's lucky to have you. I just thought it was such a sweet conversation, but I felt so bad for Lindsay in this moment. So they continue to get ready, and now Carl is having this heart-to-heart with Kyle. in Kyle and Amanda's room. And he starts sharing about what happened with his mom and with his stepdad. And Amanda walks in. And the editing is just so genius because Amanda walks in and she goes, like, she walks through the room and they kind of stop talking. And she's like, I need my shoes. And they stop talking. And then she's like, I need my bag. And they stop talking. And it's like the most awkward thing. And finally, she just sits down. And Kyle's like, I guess you're joining this conversation. Is that okay? And I'm happy that conversation happened with Amanda because I think Amanda put a good perspective on it. But Carl starts talking about the fact that he wasn't honest with Lindsay about what really was in the conversation with Sharon. And Amanda shares with Carl that Lindsay just told me about it downstairs. Then the craziest thing on Summer House that we've seen is the fourth wall is broken. Okay. We see the fourth wall broken, which means we now are talking about the fact that we're on camera because they're having this conversation and Carl goes, it doesn't help. Oh no. Amanda says, aren't you worried that she's going to see it? Meaning when this show airs, like you will be married and she's going to see that your parents didn't want you to get married. And he says, yeah, this is the caveat. We've got this. And he points like this. And now all of a sudden we see, you know, the above ground, the robo cam or whatever. And we see the two camera. There's actually a cameraman and a camera woman I saw. And the producers or the assistant cameras right behind them. So there's four people in that room having that conversation in addition to Kyle and Amanda. And like we forget, we know that they're being filmed, but we forget what it really looks like in that room. It's crazy to see, right? That they're having these like heart to heart, these serious conversations. And there's four extra people in the room. They keep cutting over to this beautiful dinner outside and everyone's like, where are they? But they keep eating and they're enjoying themselves. And Lindsay looks good. Everyone looks good. Everyone's happy. Everyone's enjoying themselves. And meanwhile, Carl is on the verge of freaking falling apart upstairs because he's like, I don't know what to do. I'm just like, I'm nervous and I'm overwhelmed. And he's like in the moment of having a full panic attack. He's about to cry. And Amanda goes over to him and she's like giving him some, you know, affection, but she's like, you need to tell her this. You need to have this conversation. But Kyle then brings up like, just remember that not all parents need to be like gung-ho on the wedding for it to work. Remember when I proposed to Amanda and I asked her dad for her hand and he gave me this kind of like scoff, this laugh. But, you know, Carl says something like, yeah, if it wasn't for the show, like we would just go and get married and everything would be fine. It was really interesting. I also thought it was interesting that Amanda wasn't going to share, just like what we were talking about before. Amanda would not have shared with her parents that Kyle cheated on her had the cameras not been there because she probably doesn't want her parents to ever feel like Kyle's a dick. So he goes, I need to talk to her. There's so much on her plates. And it's clear. Everything is like he is feeling overwhelmed. He's worried about money. He's worried about his career. He's worried about this wedding. And he knows he shouldn't marry her. That's honestly the truth. He knows he shouldn't marry her and he's panicked because he's like, I need to pull out. I need to pull out of this wedding. This is not the wedding for me. They end up, you know, going downstairs and right as he sits down, he shows it like, you know, the worst poker player. He's like, things aren't good. It isn't good. We need to have a conversation, he says to Lindsay. She's like, well, we're not going to be able to have a conversation right now. Like we're going to have a conversation next week. I mean, we're not going to be able to have a conversation after dinner. We have to have a conversation now. And he says, okay. So they walk off. They don't tell anyone about anything. They just go off. The whole crew is like, what the hell is happening? And they go in the living room. And as they're sitting and having this conversation, we see the reaction of everyone outside saying, what is happening? What's going on? Is everything okay? And then you cut into the living room. And in this living room, Carl says to Lindsay, who's panicked, like panicked, because wouldn't you be? Your fiance has just been missing for the last 30 minutes in a conversation with his best friend and his best friend's wife. And now he doesn't look okay. And he looks very stressed out and he looks very nervous and anxious. And Lindsay is legit panicking. And they go into the living room and he says, so I talked to my mom and my stepdad. and they've been concerned about everything that happened, you know, that we've been fighting. And she's like, I know, babe, like we talked about this. I'm confused. What just happened? Like, why are you so upset right now? She says, you're very angry. He goes, I'm not angry. She saw it as anger. He was obviously stressed, but she said, it's, you know, I don't like what's going on. Like, why are you feeling this way? And he's like, well, I just know that we're on TV and I don't want you to be blinded by this. But basically, I just want you to know that my stepdad said he wouldn't marry you. He wouldn't marry us. And she handles it in a way that I didn't expect. I thought she was going to like immediately start crying or being like, what the fuck? Like, why didn't you tell me? Oh my God. And meanwhile, she's very calm and she's like, well, this is like a big deal. I mean, I think this is an important thing that you should have told me. I just don't know why you wouldn't have communicated it more with me. And, you know, we should have had just more communication. And he's like, yeah, I should have told you. And she says, thank you. I appreciate it. Let's just try to communicate in detail in the future. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of a big deal. And he still is like pussyfooting around it, right? He's pussyfooting around it. And he's kind of like, well, I mean, I just feel like they, you know, I just wanted you to know. And she goes, but this is why, Carl, that I don't involve my parents in the minutiae of every single fight we have like you do. Because you know Carl does. You know Carl's first call is to his mom for everything. Carl's the Jason Hoppe. He really is. Jason Hoppe with Bethany, when Bryn first rolled over, Jason Hoppe called his parents before he even like got to celebrate with his wife. And so this is Carl. Lindsay says something to Carl like, Carl, why don't you ever do your laundry? And Carl's like, Mom, Mommy, Lindsay said I don't do laundry. I just feel like it's really bad, right? The whole thing is bad. But she's staying very calm in this conversation. And she's like, are you okay? Like, what is happening? What's going on? And he's like, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just stressed out. Now, meanwhile, we have this really funny little moment where we cut to the chef. The whole crew outside is like, what do you think the chef is thinking? Because it's this open floor plan. And the chef is just standing there in this empty kitchen. It's all clean. Like, he's just standing there checking his phone, looking over at Carl and Lindsay filming. And you know, Carl is trying to now dig himself back out of this grave that he's created himself. And she's like, what's, you know, he starts saying, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know. And she is just kind of calm and she just sits there and she's like, okay, am I allowed to have my emotions? He's like, I didn't say that. I didn't say you're not allowed to. I think Carl's a gaslighter. Personally, he's conflict avoidant. He's not ready to get married. And so Team Lindsay or Team Carl, it doesn't matter, Team no one. Carl is not ready to get married to Lindsay. Carl's scared of Lindsay, not healthy. Lindsay's annoyed with Carl. They're not having sex. They don't really have any chemistry. They're not good together at all. But this is, someone said it earlier. I don't know who said this, but this is the most interesting thing. That this scene was reminiscent of Carrie and Big having their conversation the night before their wedding, before he just didn't show up. It really is. And remember how many scenes we saw of Danielle, you know, being there for Lindsay after Carl called off the wedding. And then we would see the scenes of, what's her name? Kristen Davis in the show. Carrie, Samantha, Miranda, and holy moly, this is the problem when you're doing a live show, guys. Charlotte taking the flowers, you know, hitting him in the street. You did this. You did. Stay away from him. Stay away from her. Anyway, so it was a crazy, crazy episode. We know that he called off the wedding. Let me find out the exact dates. What date did Carl call off the wedding? I think it was like 2 weeks after this. September 11th is when he announced a letter in a letter to everyone, but they actually did it, I think, before in August. Yeah. He called off the wedding in August, and the weekend that we just saw was August 18th. So he's about to call off the wedding in the next 7 days. It's not good, you guys. It's not good. Now, a very interesting final little conversation before I bring up a couple other things is Danielle was on Watch What Happens Live, and she says on Watch What Happens Live, Andy asks, were you surprised of the lack of their sex life? And guess what she said? No, I wasn't, because I dated Carl too, and it was the same. Something is going on here, okay? Carl doesn't want to have sex with these women that he's with. I mean, it's very obvious to me, right? It's very obvious to me that there's clearly something in the way and in between him and these relationships. This is, he was with Danielle when he was still drinking. So you can't blame it on sober, right? You can't say it was because he was sober. He was drinking, and she straight up says that they weren't having a lot of sex, which does make me question some things a couple times. Like, poor Carl. I know that we're all talking about this, but poor Carl, that his sex life is like so on TV. We'll have to see what happens about that. Okay, you guys, as we wrap up this amazing week of Daily Dose of Donna, I really want you to stick around just for the next few minutes, because I want to shout out some of the podcast graduates of my podcast class who have started and developed their own podcast through their own work. And of course, Daily Dose of Donna Podcasting 101. I'm going to start a new class soon, but I really wanted you guys to hear about these different podcasts. So we have a few podcasts that I wanted to shout out. One of them is called WooMates. Now, if you're wondering what WooMates is, it's W-O-M-B. Let me get it spelling right. WOMBMATES. And that's by Maggie Bond. And Maggie is one of four quadruplets. And so she and her brothers have a new podcast called WooMates. And I want you guys to go and check that out. Another podcast is called The Hidden Workforce. And that's by Lisa Toth, and she is over here. I saw her in the live chat a little bit earlier, and they are on all streaming sites. And The Hidden Workforce is really a podcast about helping those that are in, that have different abilities, disabilities, and about the positive impact that they can bring to the workforce. If you're thinking like Frankie on Real Housewives of Miami. Think about that. So it's an amazing podcast focused on different people with different abilities and how they can bring positive impact to the workforce. Then we have, hold on, I just want to get all the info right. Then we have Barbara Brooks, and Barbara Brooks is the podcast host of Second Act with Barbara Brooks. Barbara Brooks is 57 years old. She's stunning. She's beautiful. And she also hypes women up in their 40s, their 50s, and their 60s. She has a Facebook group and YouTube. Go check her out. Second Act with Barbara Brooks. And the final one is Alma. And Alma has a podcast all about it's called Dollar Drama. And so it's all about the financials, but also with a pop culture twist. So she talks about, for example, judging Coachella outfits, how much would you bid for a crusty, smelly sock? Is this one episode? She'll talk about different episodes with Jax Taylor and about their finances. So it's four incredible podcasts. I have helped develop so many others. I really want you all to go check those all out. I'll put their links in the show notes later today. So go and check it out. WooMates, The Hidden Workforce, Second Act with Barbara Brooks, and Dollar Drama. I hope you all have an incredible weekend. Thank you so much for being here, supporting me through all the ups and downs of this world. And I will see you all next Monday. Bye, y'all.